Swings it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All hail our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. All you got to do is give them a call at 713-322-HURT. If you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, they've got you covered. That wonderful intro put together by the great Michael Carroll and laid on the radio by the great Andrew Carlson, who tonight will continue to produce. We got a great show tonight, very exciting week. We got the Dynamo Vancouver on Saturday, second home game. Looking forward to doing TV with Eddie Robinson and getting down to the stadium there and seeing if the Dynamo can pick off their first win of the year. So that makes it a great week. We're doing some good radio here tonight. We'll talk about a number of different topics. I do want to let you know, in these first two segments, I would like you to weigh in on anything that's on your soccer mind tonight. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Tonight, there are quarterfinal first leg matches in the CONCACAF Champions League, that elusive tournament that Major League Soccer has come close to winning. We want to win. We got the Revolution playing UNAM tomorrow, Cruz Azul Montreal tomorrow. Tonight it's New York City FC and Comunicaciones from Guatemala. And tonight later on it's Sounders against León. That's probably the match I'm going to pick off because it'll be after this show. Craziness down in Mexico with Querétaro and Atlas. These two clubs have not been great friends over 15 years, but there's a real criminal element involved in this. I don't even know how else to describe some of the videos I saw, but just pathetically sickening, evil, just stunning, stunning. And it all happened in the 60th minute. Fighting spilled all over the place onto the field. Security apparently was lax. There's been some punishment laid out, and we'll talk a little bit about this. And the reason I don't want to stay on it too long, but the reason we will talk about this is, let's not forget, MLS and Liga MX are sort of courting each other for the future and want that connection. Well, when things like this happen, you got to really take a deep dive look. And there's been some pretty heavy fines laid out. Now, there are a lot of people also saying, yeah, there was a lot of craziness in the beginning where somebody reported 17 deaths right off the bat. Now, I don't know how that person would know that. I don't know if that was a typical, what do we call those things? We call them clickbait. I don't know. That then got retracted. Now there are people saying that actually people did die, but it's not being reported. I mean, it's so utterly pathetic. I mean, we as humans, man, we are animals. Sometimes we are animals. I saw some of this footage and it turns your stomach. I mean, a guy laying on the ground unconscious and people walking by and kicking him in the head. It's disgusting. All right. So let me turn it back into a differing mode here tonight. Here's something really positive. By the way, we got Kick Cancer Soccer Clinics coming up. Go to dynamosoccer.com or sgonesoccer.com. Sign up for the clinics. We're getting people signing up now. It's going to be a great day. All the proceeds go to pediatric cancer awareness and research and scholarships at Snowdrop Foundation. So all of us in that great concentric circle of people that are involved in pediatric cancer, me in the most limited of ways, just trying to help with a little bit of awareness. But those of you who are on the front lines, those of you who have been deeply connected by this, touched by this. We want campers. We need campers. And we'd like to remind you that these two soccer clubs, dynamosoccer.com or sg1soccer.com. All you do is go there. You can sign up. We'll have SG1 Soccer's Alex Parra on a little bit later tonight. Also, really excited to hear that the Soccer Matters t-shirts. I put some stuff out about that. We have a store with LamontBrands.com, L-A-M-O-N-T, LamontBrands.com. Marines, military down there, they hire military. Beautiful facility. These guys are salt-of-the-earth guys. They're working their tails off and right away committed to doing this with me, thanks to a great friend of ours, David Cantu, who put us together. And all the proceeds of these t-shirts are going back to At Snowdrop Foundation as well. So a big thank you to LamontBrands.com. By the way, they can handle any of your printing needs in the soccer community as well. So LamontBrands.com. Pick off some of those t-shirts. People are sending me notes saying they bought one, and it's so exciting to see these things move a little bit. All right, Andrew Carlson, let me let you revel in some glory today, because Arsenal right now sits in that beautiful fourth position, a Champions League spot, a point ahead of Manchester United after a 3-2 win at Vicarage Road against Watford. Odegaard, Saka, and Martinelli. It's good to be a Gunner right now, isn't it?
Oh, I don't think it's just good, Glenn. It's great. They have the youngest team in the Premier League by average age, and to do that and to score some of the goals that they are scoring now. At the start of the season, they weren't playing consistently good football. Like, they were getting some results. They were grinding them out after those first three games, but they weren't playing what fans would consider the Arsenal way, you know, that free-flowing, beautiful style. And now they're doing it. And if you haven't gotten the chance to catch an Arsenal game recently, I say this with totally red and white glasses in mind. You need to do it. They are playing some beautiful, beautiful stuff right now, and it is a joy to watch.
Yes, I saw it described as a stylish victory. This guy, Martinelli, I love watching him play, honestly. My eyes get drawn to him as a player. Loves to take people on off the dribble. You know, who doesn't like a good dribbler, right? I mean, guys that pick a ball up and can beat people, I mean, that's what makes the game great. And I will just say this very clearly. The greatest asset to breaking down a good tactical team is the individual soccer player. So that guy, Martinelli, picks a ball up. If he beats a guy out wide, an entire team has to move in relation to the ball, to the guy he eliminated. And that's how you break down a really good tactical plan. The individual remains the greatest asset when it comes to that. I don't think there's any question. We're going to talk Dynamo tonight. Because they got Vancouver coming in. By the way, remember Vancouver last year? Coaching change. They went on a little bit of a run. Vanni Sartini. He's a funny guy, that coach. I got to tell you, he is a character. So they're going to visit here this weekend. They're coming off a nil-nil draw against New York City FC. They had a blinding performance by their goalkeeper. Pulled off a ton of very, very good saves. The goalkeeper's name is Hasal, and he was voted to the team of the week. Came up with a couple of stunning saves to get them a nil-nil draw against the defending MLS Cup champions, New York City FC. That game was in Vancouver. They have the same record as the Dynamo, a loss and a draw, and they also haven't scored. So you got two teams going into this game this weekend thinking in the back of their minds, you know, we need to score goals. We got to score a goal. We need that from a psychological standpoint. So tonight we've got Asher Mendelson, the Dynamo technical director. Deep dive with him. It's about a 20-minute interview. We're talking about a number of things, including Hector Herrera, making players better. In other words, we get into a little bit of a discussion talking about the fact that a lot of players in MLS, you know, 3, 4, 5 teams. Well, when these guys are moved or picked up or acquired by whatever means or mechanism, you know, they're coaches and staffs that believe they can make them better players. I'm in the middle on this because I think some of your habits are definitely developed. On the other hand, yeah, a system and tactics, you never count out the fact that people can get better even at an older age. Or later in their careers. And we have seen that happen. So, yeah, we get into that. We talk about Herrera joining the club. We talk about the initial two games. So I think you're going to like this interview with Asher Mendelson. Very good interview, about 21 minutes long. Tim Parker, the captain of the Houston Dynamo, will also join us tonight. And we'll take your calls at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Interesting. I was on Twitter today, and I don't normally respond too much, but every once in a while there's a topic. And, you know, everything's rolling in Austin when it comes to attendance and energy, excitement, relevancy. Look, we can't deny that. I mean, that they're the capital of Texas when it comes to that in MLS right now. They got that. That can only spike the Dynamo. That can only spike FC Dallas. It's a good thing. I think we wanted the bar raised in Austin when they came in from that standpoint. And I think that's, you know, if you're a Dynamo fan, you're like, you know, we want some of that. Let's raise the bar. Let's get there. Let's beat them when we play them. You know, it's great to have another team in Texas. It's great that they're successful, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, if you're looking at the MLS product right now, after two games in 2022, they're the kings of Texas. They've got 10 goals in two games. You can condition it any way you want. Yes, it was FC Cincinnati. Yes, it was Inter Miami. I can't even remember the teams. They didn't play well. Brett Shea was playing as a center back for Inter Miami. And now they're going to have a real test in Portland. But nobody can deny what they've done on the field and off the field. They're killing it. They're killing it. I've been to those games. They're killing it. So it's a bar raiser. It's called competition. If we want to get there, we've got an owner that wants to get there. I don't think there's any question. So I think that's a good thing. Now, if you put it in the context of, you know, is Austin the soccer capital of Texas, and you bring in international soccer, history, things like MLS Cups. Not the capital when it comes to MLS Cups. That's the Houston Dynamo. It just depends on how you want to condition it. But from a relevancy standpoint, an excitement standpoint, and an attendance and merchandising standpoint, it's Austin FC. I mean, nobody can argue that. Please. All right. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So 26 people were injured. This game was at Querétaro. It was in they were the whole home team. 23 injuries, three apparently critical. There's people that are contesting that. The Liga MX president, his name is Mikel Arriola. The Mexican Football Federation head is Jan de Luisa. They announced that Querétaro will be banning fans for a year. Now, sadly, getting swept up into this, that means no fans at the women's games, no fans at their youth games either. There's a fan group they have called the Barras, B-A-R-R-A-S, who are banned for 3 years. I would say you would want to ban those guys for life. After watching those scenes, absolutely criminal. Now, the ownership group has been told they have to transfer control of the team to Grupo Caliente, who also owns, think about this, Club Tijuana. They've got 1 year, Club Tijuana, to find new ownership or the league's going to take control of Querétaro. The owners, one of who's the former goalkeeper for Club America and has played for Mexico, Adolfo Rios, has been barred from football activity for 5 years. What that means, I'm not sure. Five officials involved with planning and security were suspended. So it was about the 60th minute this broke out. I mean, the videos are everywhere. This is evil. This is just plain evil. Now, let's not forget, there's a history of fan trouble in Mexico. This is nothing new. Nothing new. And I would go to this. MLS wants to be more aligned with Liga MX. This is a blow. Something you got to really seriously look at. Oh, we got. I put together a great music list tonight, Andrew Carlson. That Liga MX connection and train might slow down a little, might not. All right, let me just tell you about John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. John gets this show on the air here and in Austin, Texas, so we can discuss our beautiful game, the passionate people who love this sport. Don't forget, the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. If you get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, where you need a personal injury attorney, there's only one firm. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. www.dasbitlawfirm.com. We'll take a break right now. Third caller now at 713-780-3776. Third caller, 713-780-3776. I got a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Vancouver Whitecaps this weekend right now. We'll take a break. With a strong foundation that was carved in stone. And my mama for the love that made my house a home. And you wonder sometime if this is meant to be.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Header inside is a good one. Foden could be in here. What a save by De Gea. The follow-up from Bernardo Silva. Surely from De Bruyne. Third time looking for Manchester City, who swarmed towards David De Gea's goal. Two for De Bruyne, two for City. They regain the lead here.
Well, some might say Judas Priest are the metal gods. Well, Manchester City is a well-oiled machine. That's all we can say. They are remarkable. I had a friend of mine once tell me about Rob Halford. He said they were playing the Woodlands, Judas Priest. And, of course, this guy would always dress up all in leather. Said it's like 95 degrees and he comes out in leather and he goes, all leather gear on, like sweating like a banshee. And he goes, now that's the metal god. All right. For those of you who like heavy metal, and I'm sure there's a few people out there going, well, the Priest isn't my favorite band, but that's a great song. All right. So we're coming back here. So we're talking Manchester Derby, 4-1. This was a beatdown. Could have been 8-1. Let's go to a little bit of sound here. First, we're going to get the Man City side of it. Here's Pep Guardiola being his team's biggest critic.
Today we display, especially in the second half, but sometimes consequences for the first half, like we let them run a lot in the first half, we make an excellent performance. I'm the biggest critic to my team, but when we play good, we play good. And today, the second half, we play really good.
Yeah, how do you beat Manchester City? Your goalkeeper has a blinder, plays out of his mind, and you hit him on the counterattack a couple times like Spurs. And you're going to do that when you have 30% of the ball. I mean, you know, when somebody makes an unforced error on Manchester City, one of the players, whoever it is, it sticks out. It just like jumps out of the TV. You're like, oh, wow, they made a bad pass. It just doesn't happen. It is remarkable. And I think you have to really give it to Guardiola, because how do you coach these guys that are all multimillionaires? How do you keep them that focused? Well, if you look at Kevin De Bruyne, here's why I love the guy. He's not taking pictures of himself. He's not he's not worrying about his hairstyle. This guy is totally 100% footballer. If I was playing the game these days, I want somebody to say to me, you're 100% footballer. Or, you know, Davis, you're 100% passionate radio host. You know, whatever. But, I mean, they just are a machine. Maybe this is the year they win the Champions League. All right, now let's conversely go to Manchester United. Poorly put together roster. You got a bunch of guys on that team I think you've been dancing with, including, dare I even say it, because I may get somebody upset. No, I won't say it now. I'll say it in a minute. Let's let Roy Keane talk first. Here's Roy Keane saying Manchester United quit.
The beauty with top-level sport, there's no hiding place. You know, there's no hiding place. I know United have done well here the last couple of years. We saw all the United shortcomings today. We saw, obviously, Man City being very good the second half. There's ways to lose football matches. We've all lost football matches, but the way United lost it today, they stopped running, they gave up. There was players out there putting performances. Players not running back. That's what I don't understand. And the manager will be criticising the tactics, but players not running back while you're playing for Man United, it's really unacceptable. It really is. I think they threw the towel in, which is shameful.
Through the talent, shameful. You know who's been dancing with United? Paul Pogba. You think guys like Pogba and Bruno liked playing against Man City, chasing shadows? No way. I mean, Paul Pogba for me, it's been an incredible disappointment, and I think he's actually bordered at times as being a bit unprofessional, because you just don't. He's not bought in. I mean, you see it, and they still have to play him. Okay, so Roy Keane was talking about managers. So we've gone through Louis van Gaal, We've gone through Jose Mourinho, David Moyes. We've gone through Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. At this point, you got to say, it can't just be the manager. This is, you know, the next guy in line has to deal with the consequence of non-soccer people making decisions at Manchester United. That's what I would probably say. And I think the other big one is Sir Alex Ferguson. He might have been able to stop this whole thing with the Woodwards, and that's a whole nother story for another day. Let's go to Roy Keane talking about, well, some of these players should never play again for United.
Your own bit of pride eventually has to kick in at some stage. And there was players there, and we're watching it live, and I'm looking at them, and I'm getting really frustrated watching it, because I forgive mistakes, but you got to run back. There was players, I'm after right now, five or six players, I think you should never play for Man United again. Just shameful, shameful that you can't run back and you can't put your body on the line. And forgive the lack of quality against Man City in the second half, because Man City are excellent. They've been excellent for the last 3, 4, 5 years. Fantastic team. That's why they're the champions. But Man United, a derby match today, the subs coming on, you're hoping they'll have an impact. They're not prepared to run around. A couple of lads in midfield, Wan-Bissaka, Fred, Maguire, Rashford came on. I could go on. Give up 4 goals. And City weren't even at their very best. City didn't have to be at their best. I thought City had another couple of years to go. I think they just toyed with them, a bit like the game at Old Trafford. They gave up. And shame on them.
Mike is enjoying
it. I was trying to hold it in, I mean.
There's Micah Richards, the laughing hyena. I mean, I think this guy's getting paid big bucks for just laughing on the set. Micah Richards, who used to play at Man City, because that's really what he does. It was kind of like Johnny Carson with – who is Johnny Carson? Well, you're not going to know, Andrew, are you?
Before my time, Glenn, I wish I could help you out here.
Yeah, yeah. Johnny Carson's sidekick. Geez, somebody help me here. Whoever it was, he would just – oh, Ed McMahon. He would just sit there. It was, you know, it was late night talk show, they bring on guests, and Ed McMahon would just sit there and laugh for, you know, about 20 years and ride it all to the bank. All right, 713-780-3776. I'm going to switch it over to the Dynamo. Dynamo went down 1-0 against Sporting Kansas City. We had that game right here on ESPN 97.5. That was our first radio broadcast of the year. Let's go to Paulo Nagamura on his initial thoughts on the team playing well, and I think he's really talking about the collective defending side here.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think that the team played really well. Defensive, again, solid. Different strategy, different opponent. We knew that Sporting is a team that likes to possess the ball and find Johnny, fight shallowly on the flanks and dangerous players that create a lot of opportunities for them. So we try to minimize that. But again, overall, I have to say that I'm pleased with the team overall performance. I think it was unlucky play that ball bounces off Fafa leg and go to Johnny or whoever it is, and they cross and they score. And after that, we pushed the game. We went after, actually create a couple of opportunities here and there, but I'm happy with the result, but a lot of positives to take from this game.
All right, so that's Paulo Nagamura. And listen, to be fair to the Dynamo, they're going to a place where they're obviously going to defend in a bit of a lower block against Sporting Kansas City. I don't think this, to me, at this moment, and they are missing some guys, it did not look like the livelier Sporting to me. The team that Peter Vermees fielded was a little bit older, did not have that normal jump that I would say. I'm not taking anything away from the Houston Dynamo, but the Dynamo, again, in attack, struggled in a big way. Sebas Ferreira had one touch in a penalty area. That's two consecutive games. And, you know, when I watch Manchester City and I see how their wide guys get to an end line and just hit that clinical ball across the face of a goal, and they are so well drilled at that, I'm just saying, will we ever get, you know, more of these types of goals where the Dynamo get in behind, they penetrate, they get to an end line and square a ball back and give three or four guys that are, you know, staggering their runs, an opportunity to get on the end of some delivery. So that's the challenge right now for the Dynamo. Here's Paulo Nagamura talking about the struggles. He's questioned on the struggles in attack.
Well, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Today was a different strategy. So you see in the first half that we're not a game that that we are possessing the game, the ball, and pushing the other team back. You have to be smart when you play against Sporting. You have to minimize their danger, and that probably create a little bit more of us being on counter and transition moments. In the second half, I think we push after we got score on. I think we pushed the game a little bit more, and we still were able to break Sporting a lot of times. But we couldn't find the last pass, the last finish to score their goals. And I think that's what we're lacking right now. We're lacking the final pass and the last finish.
Yeah, and you know, you're relying on the counterattack, so you're really relying on Corey Baird, and you're relying on Fafa Pico for that. And Fafa was playing on that left side for the majority of the game, if not all of it, and cutting in on his right. And I think people are starting to pick up on that, that inverted cutting in, and they do know he's the biggest threat on the counter because of that, that great pace he has. Here's Paulo Nagamura on needing to score goals.
Yeah, you need to score goals to win games. Absolutely. That's what we need to address. That's what we need to improve. Like, just like I say in a previous question, yes, we need to address that. We need to improve that. And that's what we're going to work on. I think, again, defensively, we're solid. We need to be more dangerous around the goal. We need to be more aggressive around the goal and make sure that we finish in the chances that we have.
Now, this is Paulo Nagamura post-match. So this is post-match in Sporting. I meant to let you guys know that. And again, Sporting got the lone goal from Remy Walter, Voltaire. And, you know, the Dynamo are compact. Their lines are tight. Their shape is good. But you're going to have to score goals to win. You don't want to be five games in conceding few goals but not winning games and accumulating any points because people are picking up points. And this is... this is where I think it's a tough challenge, and I really put this out there for Paulo Nagamura. Do you loosen up the structure now and the collective building of this new found team shape and keeping the lines tight and block of defending? Do you loosen that up and do you start a Coco Carrasquilla in the next game? Or do you alter something slightly in midfield to try and get a little bit more of your midfield making things happen before you have to go to a bench, right? So I don't know. These are very tough decisions, and that's why the coach is the coach, and he's got to make these. I don't know if the wide game has been good enough in the first two games. It hasn't. Sebas Ferreira, frankly, has touched the ball in the penalty area once in two consecutive games. He got subbed out. So, you know, you got an asset there that you're not getting the best out of yet. And you got to think he's going to be very frustrated. He hasn't had a decent look yet, I don't think. Somebody correct me. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. So Vancouver will come in this weekend. Let me just go to... Paulo Nagamura. So I think we're seeing the role of Darwin Quintero. It's as a super sub. So he came off in the first game. He hit the crossbar, almost won him the game. Comes in again, got gifted a pass, had an empty net, went for the chip and missed it. Here's Paulo Nagamura on if he sees Darwin Quintero as a super sub.
I think we have 15, 16, 17 starters right now, to be honest with you. I think I don't say super sub. I think there's a lot of guys that can step in and be a starter for our team. And again, Darwin came on today and gave us a spark, had a chance to score, had made a couple of plays there around the box. And that's what we expect from him. We expect the subs or whoever's playing or coming to the game to give us a good impact. And I think they gave us there a little bit. We're just refining, just missing the last touch there.
So that's happened in two consecutive games. You've gotten some other energy coming on and you had Darwin come on and make some things happen in the other game. You can't start him. I mean, well, look, I'm not disagreeing with anything the coach says. The coach is, but if we're being honest, if you're going to Sporting Kansas City and you're going to defend in a lower block and not expect to have a lot of the ball, you need three workers in midfield, and that's what the Dynamo did with Memo Rodriguez, Matias Vera, and Seren. And basically, they play mostly, I see, flat across the field, pretty much. So it's hard for them to get into the attack. So I look at that and I say, well, those are the moments, you know, if we're set up we're at 0-0, and we're trying to win the game in the last 20 minutes. Quintero's going to have to come through, and whoever else is coming off the bench, Coco Carrasquilla, whoever. Or do you start a Coco Carrasquilla in the next game? Now, there's some people out there saying things that are, I mean, you want Andre Guitau to start? And, yeah, come on. It's Major League Soccer, please. I mean, give us a break. He's a talented young man, but, I mean, really. Okay, so let's be somewhat logical when we think about how we're going to try to win games. And you know, somebody call in and tell me then. 713-780-3776. Somebody tell me what you want to do with the midfield. Do you continue the way you are with the three set, or do you try to slip a Coco Carrasquilla in who might be able to hit a few more passes that turn lines of an opponent's team? You need a little bit more penetration. What do you think? Now, Vancouver comes in, and Vancouver was smashed 4-0 by Columbus. 2 goals late in that one in their opener, and then they tied New York City FC. But I will say that they got a goalkeeper who earned them a point. There's no question. That performance from Hassal was a player of the week performance. He made the play, you know, the team of the week in Major League Soccer. I mean, he came up with a couple of sparkling saves. So they've got Ricky Gault. He's a playmaker. He's got he's a slide rule pass guy. He can thread the eye of a needle. He's one to keep an eye on. Lucas Cavallini up front is a big banger. Tim Parker will talk to us about him. Deber Casado is also dangerous, and so is Christian Dahomey. Now, Dahomey has been utilized in a couple of different roles. So we'll see what Vancouver does, but they've, you know, if they come in and they play in a low block, you know, and test the Dynamo's will to really get after them, I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see what happens this weekend. But it's a big one for both of these teams because it's the point of the season. You want to get a three. You want to get full 3 points. Bayern Munich today absolutely destroying Red Bull Leipzig. You had 23 minutes. You had a hat trick for Robert Lewandowski. Gnabry, Thomas Muller. Inter Milan went down to Liverpool today. Lautaro Martinez scored a fantastic goal to make it 2-1. And then guess who gets sent off? Andrew Carlson's favorite player, Alexis Sanchez, got sent off. All right, we're going to take a break. Dynamo defending well, no question about it, getting up a half a goal a game. Have got to start scoring goals. We'll see if they can start that ball rolling in the other direction this weekend against the Vancouver Whitecaps. Right now, caller number 4. You get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Vancouver Whitecaps this Saturday at 713-780-3776. It's caller number 4. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by the one and only John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. When we come back, Alex Parra, Spanish television for the Houston Dynamo. Alex will join us, and we've got some really exciting news also. We'll talk Dynamo. We'll continue that. We'll take your phone calls at 713-780-3776. Stay with us. Alex Parra is up next.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, now.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, big shout out to some of our great friends, Cactus Music, who helps us get Burning Topics on the air where we promote our radio show. Also, big thank you to Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on the Katy Freeway and the Marquee Entertainment Center. You go over there, that's a Liverpool supporters group hangout. You ever want to get a great Bangers and Mash or English breakfast, that's the place to get it. Get out there. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, and also my great friend Quinn down at Cactus, who I learn a lot about music. By the way, Andrew Carlson didn't believe I would know who glass animals are. How judgmental of you, Andrew.
Look, I'm ageist,
that
Glenn.
That is truly judgmental.
Say. I'm ageist.
Well, you know who turned me on to Beach House? Somebody publicly on Twitter said, I can't believe Glenn Davis would listen to Beach House. Why wouldn't I? You know who turned me on? Trey told me about that. So there you go. You know, you learn something every day. That's dream pop. So, you know, I'm into a lot of genres, not just Ozzy and Black Sabbath. All right, a couple of big things we got coming up. By the way, that was some fantastic sound from Roy Keane and Paulo Nagamura there. Really appreciate getting that kind of stuff on the air for you to hear directly from people. And Roy Keane just absolutely is unbridled when it comes to Manchester United these days. A couple of things to quickly get you up to date on here. Kick Cancer Soccer Clinics. Two places to sign up. All the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation. You go to dynamosoccer.com or sg1soccer.com. Now, these two soccer clubs in Houston are putting on this clinic, their staff. It's open to everybody, though. We want everybody to come and get some training in. It's a lot of small-sided games. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. These two clubs are hosting it. We are very appreciative of both of them. And one of the club's representatives, we had Olivier Finidori on last week. Well, Alex Parra of SG1 Soccer, also the play-by-play voice for the Houston Dynamo in Spanish. Alex joins us now. Alex, thank you for coming on.
Mr. Glenn Davis, first of all, I hope you can hear me. Good evening. It's always an honor, young man, to be alongside of you here on Soccer Matters and definitely talking about the way we're helping Snowdrop Foundation. Thank you for your leadership on this.
Well, listen, I'm kind of laughing because I heard you won two tickets during the commercial break. What are you going to do with them? Andrew tells me, he goes, you're a winner, and it's Alex Parra calling in. That was pretty funny. Alex has got a credential. He goes to all the games. He's the voice of the Spanish TV.
But Glenn, yeah, quickly, I don't mean to interrupt you, sir, but yeah, SG1 Soccer Club, we're out in Katy. This is our 10th year anniversary, if you can believe it. And thank you for getting us together with Snowdrop Foundation. It's something we've been supporting for a while. We're really excited about this upcoming clinic here on the 20th of March.
Yeah, it's a big deal. We really want people to come out. We also have T-shirts you can get at LamontBrands.com from this radio show, Soccer Matters. That also goes all the proceeds to Snowdrop. So, you know, two clubs. Dynamo Soccer Club have been doing it for a long, long time, probably 14, 15 years. Now we got SG1 involved with Alex, who right away said, we're in. So these are two great clubs to support. And even if you play for another club, you might play at Rise, you might play at Albion Hurricane, you might play at the Houstonians. It doesn't matter. Come out. There's going to be some cancer survivors speaking. There's going to be some incredible lessons learned. There's going to be ex-pros at these events. So please let's get you out there. Okay, so Alex, let's just get your thoughts on the first two Dynamo games this year with Vancouver coming up this weekend.
Well, as we've all said, right, we need goals. Regardless of how you spin it, scoring is important. Look, short term, and I was listening to your analysis of both matches thus far, and yeah, it's still a team that's gaining its identity. I've talked in my world about Nagamura ball, as I call it, its identity, what he is trying to achieve with the team, and there's a lack there of consistent transition to the final third and finding a way to score. Glenn, I will tell you this, like anything in life, it's a process. And I love the direction of the organization. So that's very general terms, I know. But I think with Nagamura, they've given him the chance to build it. I think there's pieces that are missing. I'll be very honest when I say I think they have to hold down the fort until HH gets here in the summer and remain in a competitive place. But could there be things that need to be adjusted? Yes, on the attacking side. Defensively, I think bringing in Clark was a huge positive for the club defensively. To me, that's part of the defense. That's part of that anchor down there. Steris and Parker are doing their job. I want to see what Teenage can do eventually. Lundqvist, I think, has the green light to move up. But I think, like in many cases, Glenn, it's about the midfield. How can the midfield create that transition to attack? And you mentioned it, Ferreira Has he gotten one good look? Maybe, I think, in the first 5 minutes of match number one at home, he had something that slipped off his foot and could have been a great beginning for him.
It was a miss hit. Yeah, it was. I remember it was a miss hit from Vera that was going for goal, and it came across the front of him. But you know, you do kind of got a feel for him a little bit. Hey, by the way, I just want to clarify something. I said talking about Guitau, not to you, to our listeners and Alex. I had said, you know, you can't start Andre Guitau. What I meant was you can't start him and Castilla together, okay? These are young kids. Now, if you have the luxury at some point to get these guys minutes during this year, yeah, but I think you got bigger fish to fry. So when I see people saying start both of them in midfield, you're absolutely crazy. So, you know, let's look at the future here. And would you, and I propose this, in the, you know, is this a game you slip Coco Karaskia in to hopefully get more positive passes that are penetrating and a little bit more play into your center forward?
I think you can. You know, I'll go back to your comment and I'll echo it. It's way too early to start thinking about, I'm going to say, inexperienced players. Might there be a shot in the future? Sure, but you're not looking at that. Although Coach has said, and you, I believe, ran a soundbite, and he's talked to us several times about this, he's got 15, 16, 17 starters in his mind. I think he wants to create that environment of competition, Glenn, but realistically, the young men are young men, and unless something drastically changes, they don't quite have that experience. The question is always, well, when are they going to get it if they're not given it? But yeah, Karaskia, to me, his pace is different. That can change things up. Vera sitting back in the hole, defending more, and then getting Karaskia to get balls up to Fafá or to Ferreira, that's logical to me. That makes sense. That may change things around. So that's not only a great idea, I think it's naturally coming.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it's interesting because, you know, you're trying to build this collective play and the way you're doing it, but you're really not getting enough out of your midfield when it comes to supplying people up front. There's really not a midfield threat. You don't feel threatened, I don't think. And Vera, you made a good point, is very locked into sitting in front of the center backs much more than last year where he played a couple of different positions and Todd Ramos was trying to figure something out amongst the three. So it's the same midfield players. And I will ask Asher Mendelson in that interview coming up, the technical director, I would have to think the Dynamo are looking for another player in midfield because, look, you're in this position where, and I know you know this, Alex, you're in a position here as a coach where, okay, well, we're defining our tactics, but, man, we got to win because if we go six or seven games and we're not getting enough points and we're in the hole when Hector Herrera's coming here, that's a little bit of a worry. And look, I get it. It's early and it's quick, but, you know, people have accumulated 6 points already in this league. And after three games, if you're sitting on 2 points, you know, you got to begin to think of how quickly this is all going to happen. And I still think you need another definitive midfielder to go along with Hector Herrera that is very attack oriented, can break lines off the dribble, can provide a threat shooting. You know, where is that guy? It's easy to say it.
And Glenn, a couple of things. First of all, on the winning and getting points now before Herrera's even here, the Austin's doing well. I mean, off to a great start. Attention's going to shift if that continues. So this is a very unforgiving league. They have to find a way to win now. The HH chapter comes later, midsummer, and that may be when things are too far gone. I hope not, certainly. Now, there's a curious comment, real quick, in our run-up to the start of the season, in the way Nagamura talked about the number 10. He doesn't see that as a necessity, per se, in his system. And it's curious, and I wanted to follow up with him, and I will. What does that mean? And you said it, the collective here is what he's worried about versus a traditional classic number 10 sitting, distributing the ball as we know it. So that may be the reason why that doesn't exist at this point, really, in a consistent basis, Glenn. He doesn't believe in that. And there's a quote with him that I heard specifically him addressing that center midfield role.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's a little bit more of a flat midfield. A lot of times maybe Vera's drops a little bit deeper than the other two, but, you know, it's not easy for them to jump into the attack. You know, and you would probably go to Seren and Memo Rodriguez to be the guys to jump into attack.
Correct.
They don't get into it enough. They don't get up there in support of everybody else. So you aptly pointed out, I think the counterattack is, you know, the ball to the corner flag or to Pico or Corey Baird right now is the biggest threat.
Right.
And it's not easy for Sebas Ferreira, I don't think. So, you know, I watch Manchester.
No, yeah.
Let me just, before you say something, I watch Manchester City. And of course, I'm not comparing to Manchester City, but teams that penetrate and get to the end line and cut balls back across the face of goal, they're just so well drilled at that. You know, and I don't see the Dynamo getting behind anybody yet two games in. And you know what? Maybe that'll change on the weekend, but who knows?
Glenn, if we could have that style in Houston and or even in the MLS on a consistent basis, it would elevate the game and definitely produce what's lacking right now, which is offense. Because then you have multiple people following the ball, you lay the ball back, and you have two or three making the runs. I think it can come. I think that may be part of what we're trying as a team, Nagamura, trying to achieve. But when and how? So. He's, you know, it's two games in. I think we have to be realistic about what that means. I know it's the MLS. I know winning is immediate. He knows that. You have to score. You have to win. That's how he is going to be judged. But I think we need probably, I think this next two games really to judge it, because two games at home, Vancouver, Colorado, you have to pick up points. Three out of the first four at home, that tells you everything. If you can't capitalize on that, there's going to be a consequence to that, and not necessarily a positive one, Glenn.
Well, let's think about this, too, and we're talking to Alex Parra. And Alex, again, heads up SG1 Soccer. He is a Spanish voice of the Houston Dynamo with Gustavo Rangel. They do a great job covering the Dynamo, and we cross paths a lot at the stadium, Alex and I. You know, I think in some ways, you know, it's tough for this new staff that comes in because, you know, they're not necessarily, yes, they understand the context of what's going on before, but, you know, when people hear, you know, our project and these things, you know, they've heard this a couple times before. So it's a little bit of a fatigued audience that is being won back now, I think, by the owner, and they deserve the time to get this right, you know, and the owner has brought in a technical director. He's brought in all these other positions. He's brought soccer people in. We've been beleaguered in the past by non-soccer people pretending to be soccer people and making decisions that have just really hit this club with severe consequences over the years. I mean, some of the things that I know and the decisions made have been really tough to put the club in the place it's in. So, you know what? It's positive now with Ted Siegel. He's doing all the right things. He's brought in soccer people. They deserve their chance to get it right, and let's hope there's some goals this weekend. Alex, anything else you want to talk about?
Well, look, real quick, I do want to mention something. You know, and we go from Snowdrop and something very positive for the committee, Glenn, and I really appreciate that. I have to mention, and you tell me how much time I have or don't.
You got a minute.
What happened?
You got a minute.
A minute. What happened?
Yep.
What happened in Mexico, sir, was a travesty, and I've gone back and forth with people on this. I've been asked why, and I say the following. It's a culture. It's a culture that has been cultivated in Mexican soccer. It's a culture of corruption. It's a culture of no moral character, and it's a shame. And it's something that needs to be changed. And I am for taking the World Cup away from Mexico. It hurts me. I was born in Mexico, but things have to change. This is accepted. People have accepted to behave this way, and they cannot continue. You cannot shy away from what happened. You cannot shy away from where it happened. The federation is responsible. The clubs are responsible. And if they don't change something now, and very soon, this will only get worse. There's no justification for it, Glenn, and it angers me that someone can try to justify it. Well, it's a club. Well, it was a security. No, this took years in the making. And it's a systematic thing that must change. This didn't come out of the blue. It wasn't one person. It wasn't a gang of three. It was hundreds of people acting and behaving this way. And Glenn, you and I know it. This happens in stadiums throughout Mexico and Latin America on a regular basis. And it's a shame, and it needs to change. So,
not something new. I love that take, Alex. That's a great way to finish. I'm not going to add anything to that because we talked about it in the first segment. Great passionate take there, Alex. Appreciate that. And you're right. It's happened to plenty of times before, no question. That's Alex Parra. Alex, thank you so much, and thank you and SG1 for helping us and being involved together as a team as we continue to create awareness for pediatric cancer. Have a good night, Alex.
Glenn, my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for your leadership, and please help out the Snowdrop Foundation. We appreciate it. Glenn, have a great night.
There you go. Good stuff there. Okay, we're going to take a break. Second hour, we got Asher Mendelson, technical director of the Houston Dynamo. We'll also have Tim Parker on the show. And you're going to hear the Houston soccer community segment. Bill McDonald, 600 wins as a high school coach for Strake Jesuit. By the way, he's playing tonight. And also, don't forget, he was a professional player in the 80s with the Houston Dynamos. And he was also an assistant coach and then the interim coach of the Houston Hotshots in the Continental Indoor Soccer League that used to play at the Summit. All right, we'll take a break. It's Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented as always by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.